In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, as we gather in the house of the Lord today, we are celebrating the festival, the Holy Trinity. And as we had heard in the Athanasian Creed, this is a necessary and essential confession of the one true holy Christian and apostolic faith. That God is triune. Trinity in unity. It is, after all, a truth that we confess every week in the creeds, as well as in the liturgy, in our hymns, and even, yes, in the preaching of the word. However, the Athanasian Creed is significantly longer than most of those things, so I will have to keep the sermon short today. It's a shame we only get to use that maybe once a year. We could use it more, but it is a significant treatment of the subject. And truth be told, is probably the best one that we have as far as dealing with the subject of the nature of God, who God is as he has revealed himself to us. Now, that's not to say that there aren't individuals out there who have tried to explain it in different ways. And if anyone is a student of church history, then they will become aware that there are a lot of heresies in the past regarding this particular topic. And that tends to be what happens when people try to explain the Trinity. The simple fact of the matter is, we can't really fully grasp the nature of God as triune. We have nothing in nature to compare it to. Granted, there are individuals who will say, well, here's a three-leaf clover. And it's like, well, that, you know, you start falling into things like modalism and subordinationism, and it gets really messy. It gets really messy. The Athanasian Creed is honestly the best we can do without falling into those heresies. Ideally, we like a little simple example that we can point to. A couple little phrases. But as you saw with that creed, it's extensive, it's lengthy. You can't pack it into a tiny little phrase or a tiny little image. And even still, the reality is that after reading the creed, we sit there and we say, I understand this, but I don't understand this. How can three be one? How can one be three? Well, the answer to that is it's a mystery to us. It's a mystery to us how this is possible. All we know is that this is how God has revealed himself to us through his word. We know that God is triune on account of scripture. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, co-equal in essence, attributes, nature. And it's referenced all throughout scripture. Examples in Matthew 3, in Matthew 28, in John 14, in Romans 14, in Luke 3, in John 10, and then you have Genesis 1. Even our gospel lesson for this morning, John 3. All the persons of the Trinity are accounted for. The work of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. That God is triune is found throughout the scriptures. And likewise, that God says he is one, and that there is no other God is also clearly in the Bible. And so we have to accept this to be true, that God is one and that God is triune. We don't accept this by our ability to understand it via reason. We confess it and believe it by faith. Faith which says, Lord, I trust your word to be true. not by my own reason or my striving to understand this. But simply because, Lord, you have said it is so. And this is a hard thing for us to do. To admit and acknowledge that we as human beings, we're limited. Especially on account of sin. Our ability to understand everything around us is limited. We don't even have full understandings in regards to science and medicine, the world around us. How is it then that we expect that God should be able to be understood simply and easily by our own mental capacities? Is it reasonable to think that we should be able to put God under a microscope and intimately understand every detail of his being? It's a tricky thing for us. It's hard to admit that we can't fully grasp just about anything. Especially when it comes to God, we can only grasp that which he has revealed to us and trust it to be true. And that's the business of faith. That's the business of faith. This confession is literally a confession of faith. After all, the Trinity is just baffling. It seems like nonsense to the unbelieving world. The other Abrahamic religions, Judaism and Islam, the Trinity is just way out for them. It doesn't make any sense. And rightly so. When they say this Trinity business doesn't make any sense, we go, yeah, we agree. But you know what? It's the Word of God, and we trust the Word of God. We trust what he has spoken and revealed to us. That's why we call it a mystery. That's why we call it a mystery. A mystery that we can only begin to understand via revelation from Scripture. And truthfully, that's the only way that we would be able to know that God is triune. Is from his own word. You can kind of look to Romans 1 to kick this idea around a little bit. Apostle Paul writes, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." And so what this is essentially telling us is that we can look at the creation around us and come to the conclusion that there is a God. We can get that far by observation of the world around us. But on account of sin, our eyes being darkened in sin, our nature being darkened in sin, we can only perceive so much. And so it is then that in order to understand who God is, to know that there is a God is one thing, but to know who that God is, one must have revelation. Revelation from God, directly speaking to us, in this case, through his word, spoken through the prophets and the apostles and the patriarchs and the people of faith throughout history that God has spoken through, that we have in Scripture. There he reveals himself to us. He reveals himself to us. And he does so in this regard. God is triune. We can only know this from Scripture. We can only know this from his word to us. It's interesting, though, isn't it? That God has chosen to reveal himself to us through his word. Knowing full well that we're not really going to fully grasp these things. That God is triune. This is a challenge. That Christ, Jesus, is God and man. Fully God, fully man. How's that possible? There's an element of mystery there. Likewise, even in the sacrament of the altar, that there is bread and wine and also the body and blood of Christ. How that is possible is a mystery. But we trust it on God's word to us. And we see Nicodemus struggling with the question of, you know, how can a person be born again, born anew? Is he supposed to climb back up into his mother's womb? To be born of the Spirit. Which brings up that question, why are some saved and others not? And we're told by Jesus, in regards to the Spirit, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. There's an element of mystery there. Unfortunately for us Lutherans, we're okay with the mystery word. We're okay with mystery. A lot of people aren't. A lot of people want to try to unpack these things and figure them out. And lo and behold, that's where you get all those heresies from. We don't like to sit comfortably with mystery. But the reality is it must exist. It must exist on account of our limited nature. But it also exists on account of the fact that, well, God only reveals to us that which is necessary to know in his word. That God is triune is something that's revealed out of necessity to us. That God takes on flesh, Christ, is revealed to us. It is necessary. That the Holy Spirit comes through water and word to create new life, that we would be born again, directed to Jesus, is necessary information. It's necessary because it deals with the subject of salvation. God revealing himself to us for the sake of saving us by his grace and mercy and his work. That is ultimately what we rejoice in on this day. I've tried not to make this all about unpacking the Trinity. I didn't do a very good job of that. What the essence of this occasion is dealing with that subject of salvation. God in his mercy and his love. For this wayward and fallen and broken creation. Dealing with the fact that the sin of our first parents is passed generation to generation. It separates man from God. It creates this barrier between us and God. That on account of sin, the whole world, man, is condemned under judgment. Death and hell are brought into reality on account of sin. And how we can see in the light of God's word revealing to us that which is necessary. We see under the law our condition, our blindness, our need for forgiveness, our need for new life. And therein also in that holy word, we see God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in this blessed work of salvation, forgiving sinners. Father sends his only begotten Son to be a perfect sacrifice that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And the Holy Spirit through water and word is working faith in Christ in the hearts of those who hear this good news through the word. As they go under the waters of baptism, they're washed of their sin. They're united in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And faith is created in their heart in this Savior. The Word of God is revealing this truth to us each and every day as we hear the Word, as we read it, as we study it. That there are mysteries is not a problem. Because while we may not understand these greater elements of the true Christian faith in fullness, we understand chiefly the work of Christ for our sake, to save us. This we can comprehend, this we can understand. That God is triune, yes, the word declares it. That God became man to die on a cross, that our sins would be forgiven, we can understand this. That he comes to us through word and sacrament to forgive our sins, this we may trust by faith. Because it is ultimately by faith that we are saved. By faith that we are a new creation. That you are a new creation in Christ. God has revealed himself to you through his word. That ultimately, by faith, we have trust and confidence in him, knowing that he has spoken. Therefore, it must be true. By the blood of Jesus, you are saved. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one true God, making you children of grace, that we might rejoice on this occasion with the knowledge of God revealed to us, and that the joy of salvation would be with you always. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.